And welcome in to the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. I drove by the tree today. So I had to deal with that PTSD right away, man.
Drove by it, not into it.
Yes, I drove by it. I looked.
It's good.
Took quite a chunk out of that tree, too, by the way. But I mean, the driving the last couple days has been 3-9, and it has been, I mean, like the grandpa driver thing is actually going to apply now. Yeah. It's actually going to be a fair thing to call me now.
I mean, hyper aware out there, Rex Road is. He sees everything right now. When he's driving out there, every movement.
Yeah, is that good though? Does that get you in trouble too? You know, there's probably a balance. Probably a balance of being relaxed. Right?
I agree. It's probably balanced.
I'm not balanced right now. I got here.
That's good. That's always good. Yeah. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good, thanks. No deer sightings this morning for myself.
I didn't see any either.
But I actually do drive by a spot that I had my first wreck.
Really?
On my way in every day.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So it's changed with construction, and there's now a subdivision there. So yeah, it's not kind of like an open field.
It used to be nice open field and, you know. Somebody's living room.
But there was like a hefty drop-off off the road onto like the, you know, and it wasn't quite a ditch. But so that's been, you know, cleared off. So that's good. So it's not quite as dangerous. But, yeah, no deer. So, all good. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Happy Friday.
By the way, McEwen, because that's my – I had to go get my sunglasses out of my car at the wrecker place. But McEwen, have you been to McEwen lately?
Buddy, let me tell you.
Which part?
Yeah, I've been.
By Wilson Pike.
You know, okay.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you meant the city of McEwen.
Oh, Tennessee. No.
Like, first off,
we'll have to hear about this.
I got some family in McEwen. We are big in McEwen. This program, people walk into gas stations in McEwen, and this program is on. So we're big in McEwen, Tennessee.
Okay, give me a mileage and direction from here.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that location.
Think Dixon, and then think further out.
Okay.
Think Clarksville, Dixon, and somewhere in between up there.
All right.
Well, okay, love it.
Shout out to McEwen. Well, I was talking about, McEwen.
I got really excited for a second.
Yeah, you're like, McEwen?
McEwen, by God, I've
been
there.
We're talking about McEwen today.
I know everything about that place, actually.
Everything there is to know about it. Let me tell you.
Well, McEwen and Franklin, like, they've just cleared all the trees out. Have you been?
No, not that side.
I mean, I'm driving it yesterday, and I'm like, oh, so all the trees are now gone. I mean, it's crazy. It's like you're not driving on the same road anymore. And obviously, it's a development, and it's the bulldozers are going nuts. Like, man, we are just going to – every little sliver of nature that we can get out of here.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that the other day down in Franklin, just driving. This all used to be just fields.
Right.
And now it's every little spot, there's like a house crammed in there.
They're driving the deer out. And we see what happens when they do that.
That's true.
Driving the deer out.
I mean, look, where I hit them is exactly this humongous development that's going to be like, what's the one in Franklin?
Kind of
like
West Haven.
Exactly.
Like the Stepford Wives.
So we got one of those, and that's exactly where the deer were. They're trying to find a place to go. So, you know, can you blame them? Again, live a good deer life.
Yeah, I hope they do well. Hope those deer are doing really well today.
I do too.
There was a
beautiful stream
this last hockey season, probably for, I don't know, 3-4 months, where I would come home from Bridgestone Arena after a hockey game, and I'd get to my house, my yard, and there's like 12 deer laying down in the yard. They're just laying there. They spend the night at my house.
Just hanging out. It's
like, wow, there's a whole bunch of you out here right now, and they just don't move. They're just, we see you coming down the driveway in the car. We don't care.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
I thought so too. It was like, my own little deer army.
Yeah, it's like your own little Disney movie.
It really was. It's Bambi out here.
Sing zippity doodah.
We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Ryan McGee from ESPN will be with us at 7:30, friend of the show. We'll get into some college football and probably a whole lot more than that with Ryan McGee because that guy's awesome. So we'll get into that coming up at 7:30. Got Nick Hague
Former Predator. He hasn't played a game yet.
Well, breaking news.
Breaking news. Nick Hague will not play. Now, Nick Hague addressed the media yesterday in his introductory press conference with the Predators, so we'll get into that a little bit later this hour as well. Joe, we got Wimbledon semifinals today in the men's side of things. Let me just tell you, I'm excited for it. Live sports while we're going on. So you've got Sinner taking on Djokovic. You got Fritz, the American, taking on Alcaraz. Probably an uphill battle for him. I think it's probably going to end up, Alcaraz and Sinner.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to underestimate Novak Djokovic because I've done that before.
Yeah. That's incredible. And what is his age again?
38.
38 now. Yeah. That's awesome. Semis, I see. We got the studio set right up there behind you right now.
Yeah. It's going to be good stuff. So looking forward to that. So we talked yesterday about the possible expansion of the NCAA tournament, potentially going to 76. Maybe 72 would be where the number ends up, and how potentially there could have been a decision on that yesterday. Well, for now, Joe, 68 is where we remain. The discussion gets tabled with the committee yesterday, so it doesn't mean that we're staying at 68, and it doesn't mean that the expansion to 76 or 72 couldn't still happen, but as of this morning, the NCAA tournament remains at 68. How are we feeling about it? Is there hope that common sense is going to prevail here, Joe? What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll call it a little minor win that they didn't actually do it. But, you know, Dan Gavitt put out a statement. He's the senior VP of basketball, and Dan Gavitt's great. And he said the still viable outcomes include 68, 72, 76. I just paraphrase the rest of the quote. So still viable are the two words that matter there. It's not over. So that still could happen in 26, and it could start if there is a expansion of 27. I'm not optimistic. Like, look, when it comes down to it, when the most powerful people in college sports are pushing for something, usually it happens. I mean, Greg Sankey, you know, the AP story on this recycled some Greg Sankey quotes from the SEC meetings. Quote, I don't accept that model just continues in the future. You could go ask my colleagues in the automatic qualifier conferences what should happen. I'm certain they want that split to continue for life, but you've got some really, really good teams that I think should be moved into the tournament. Excuse me. And the split being, you know, how many, you know, and the exact number's eluding me, but how many automatic bids we have and how many at large. And of course, Sankey just loves, you know, NC State got to the Final Four as an 11. And, you know, there are a few examples of teams that went to the first four and made runs. Great. That's why we have a tournament and they're in it. They were in it and they made runs.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Good for them. We don't need teams worse than them in the tournament. I mean, this, again, Sankey, good, good commissioner. But this is, and I understand with all this, you know, you can't focus on one person, but some of the stuff he says about this is infuriating.
He's approaching like Batman villain status for you.
Like, well, it's just like, seriously, man. Last year, the SEC got all those teams in, and they deserved it. They were incredible. It's the best conference ever. Won a national championship. That's great. Who didn't make it? Who didn't make it from the SEC last year? I mean, you know, do we have
had
to
a billion
have,
teams in the tournament?
Yeah, like, do we have to have who got? Did Texas get left out?
I don't think so.
I think they made it. Didn't they make the play-in game?
How do I not remember things that just happened? See, I'm, you know, but you know, the bottom line is, great job by the SEC becoming what it has become in basketball. You had a dream season last year. Yeah, I don't know. How about Texas did get in at 19-16. You know, how about LSU at 14-18? I mean, if we expanded enough, you know, they could have gotten in too.
He wants everybody in, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't improve the tournament. It is purely a money grab, and it's a, you know, coaches like it because coaches think they get judged on NCAA bids. But again, if we're going to eventually get to like 96, you're not going to, like, that's, you're not getting a bonus for an NCAA bid anymore. You know?
No.
And you're also not, you don't have job security just because you squeak in every few years if it's that expanded to that extent. I mean, it's just, it's sad to see something that's actually good get messed with like this. But I'm not optimistic that it's going to hold on where it is. And again, it's already gone from 64 to 68.
And I'm not going to pretend to speak for every fan here, because I'm sure if the situation played out in actuality and your team was the one benefiting from this, a lot of people would be okay with it. But, like, frankly, if Tennessee wasn't good enough to make the tournament, but because they expanded it as much as they want to expand it, they're in, I wouldn't like that. Like, no, they don't need to be in the tournament. They're not good. I don't need to watch them anymore.
Exactly. Like, fans have – they have a barometer, and it's the correct barometer for, like, what is quality. And, yes, there are some years where – look, like Vanderbilt fans a couple years ago, I was sympathetic because by the end of that year, they actually were playing at such a high level, they could have done damage in the tournament. You know, they screwed it up too much early in the season. I thought they might have a chance. There's an example of a fan base that's like, oh, if we could just get in, we could actually do – okay, I get that. But again, don't screw up early in the season. There's never been a case. People complain every year about certain selections, but like you can always find the reasons for it. If you lower the bar as much as they want to lower the bar, like there are actually going to be teams in where fan bases are like, stop playing. You're playing more basketball? No, thanks. Like, we don't want that. Why do we want that? I know why. Again, it's – look, all these ADs, it's just like we talked about, Robbie, with you know, with the Big Ten thing with the 4-4-2-2, right? All of these ADs are freaking out about money.
Yep.
Because, I mean, my God, Texas Tech is a $55 million football team this year. I mean, so any sort of, okay, now we know we have this, or we have a chance for more units in the NCAA tournament, we have this, they're all going to go for it. They all are going to go for it because it's like every – thing that you can show me where there's possible revenue, I'm going to take it right now. But see, sometimes the big picture is missed in those situations, and I think a lot of people are not seeing the forest through the trees.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025, off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, because of all this NCAA tournament crap, let's take a look at American sports and postseasons. What would we change? Would we change anything? What do we want to see different with the postseason formats in our sports? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So for the moment, the NCAA tournament is safe. We'll see if that changes at any time here moving forward. Looks like it probably will, so... that'll be a fun day on the show when Rex Road gets a chance to scream about that.
Total
so,
meltdown.
That'd be nice. Long Fuse will be on full display.
Yeah.
That day. But the topic that we've kind of spun off of this is, if you could change one postseason format in an American sport, what would it be and why? And we went through this talking about this yesterday, Joe, of how there have been some changes. I mean, the NFL has expanded to 7 teams in the playoff. You know, the MLB's messed with their wild card and all that other stuff. Haven't seen any changes for in terms of like the number of teams in the NHL and the NBA making the playoffs in terms of like the actual playoffs. But the NBA's got stupid play-in games to get in the playoffs, which I hate. So there's that. So there's tinkering that's been going on with formats of the postseason in American sports. So, Joe, I ask you, if you could change one postseason format in any sport, what would it be and why?
Well, you hit on some stuff, and we've talked about just going to back to the just a 1-8 in the NHL.
Yes.
Which I think, I mean, that's close for me. That's definitely close for me. I'm with you on the playing games. I'd get rid of the – I mean, I would tinker with a lot of them. I'd go back in the NFL. Again, I'm okay. I mean, with all these things, you can live with all of them, and that's exactly what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament. You're just going to – oh, there's a few more games on Tuesday and Wednesday. And okay, so do we still fill out the bracket or okay? But the one that I would change is I would go back to 8 teams in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And listen, I grew up, I know it seems real light now because we've gone to 12, but just. 2 divisions in the AL, 2 divisions in the NL. The champions meet in the ALCS, the NLCS. You play the World Series. I mean, that was my entire childhood, and it was great. And I, like, I think that realistically try to talk about that being, I mean, first of all, going backward in anything is not going to happen. Okay, so this is already sort of a fantasy magic wand segment, but that's just too much. But just give me the three division winners and a wild card. Three division winners and a wild card, and have actual just series, you know, all the way to, right? So your wild card plays your weakest division winner, and then you have series. You have two series, down to one, down to the World Series, instead of all this other stuff they've been doing. I mean, they at least got rid of the one-game crap, but just way too much tinkering. Obviously, in COVID, they went to 16, but that's different for that. That's what I would do. I don't think it's exclusive enough, and I understand the whole idea. It's just like the NFL, to keep these fan bases engaged for as long as you possibly can. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? It's like keep as many people invested as you possibly can. Back in the old days, it just seems to me like, and it's almost like college football when we talk about it. It's like you could still get into, there was no like national championship tournament or national championship hope for your team, but you still would show up at the games, and it was still a big game, right? And it just felt, it's everything has gone to, do you have a chance at the postseason? I think you still have plenty of inclusion at 8 in MLB.
Yeah, a couple things. Like, I would, if we want to live in the world of fantasy land, let's knock this college football playoff back to 4. That would be great, but we know that that's not going to happen. I mean, the most obvious one to me is get the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, back to the proper seeding, 1-8. Like,
that's second for
there's
me.
There's no reason that the Dallas and that can happen, and it should happen, and it hasn't yet. And it doesn't seem like at the moment from the commissioner's office that there's an appetite for it to happen. I think we got to get there at some point pretty soon. There's no reason for the Dallas Stars and Colorado Avalanche last year to be playing in the first round. Now, look, it turned out basically the way I thought it would, which was it was a great series. And, I mean, Game 7 was epic with Mikko Rantanen basically just taking over against his former team and punching them through to the next round. How great would that have been, though, in like a, you know, second round or conference final or something like that? So let's get the seeding back to where it should be, 1-8 in the NHL. That would be number one on my list.
Yeah. I have one thing I want to argue with you about, but Texter says, playing games for the NBA is amazing if you watch the NBA regularly. Makes the late games the end of the season more meaningful. Look, I've been in that situation. The Dubs have been in there, and I've watched it all, and you follow it. To me, it's just like, look, man, we don't need 10 teams that – like, 8 teams is fine. Yep. 8 teams in on each side. I don't care about the 9th team. No. Sorry, 9th team. Sorry, 10th team. Sorry, you know.
Play better in a regular season.
Yeah, you know. So look, I'm not disagreeing that, like, I have watched and enjoyed and been and found compelling – somebody's playing games.
I have not.
Yeah.
I have not watched. I have not enjoyed.
Yeah. I mean, like, it comes down to your team being it, you know. But I've watched.
I didn't even watch when the Heat were in the playing games. Right? There's a 0% interest to me.
Yeah.
I want no part of the playing games.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you – yeah, that's fine. I mean, some people watch if their team's in it. The games can be good. But, again, you can always find a way to have games. You just I don't see how anything past 8 should matter. And his 8 should just play 1.
Yeah. I think Adam Silver, frankly, is doing a horrible job as NBA commissioner. Like, there's a lot of really stupid things that he's come up with here. This is probably – I'm trying to decide if the play-in games or the in-season tournament is dumber. I think the in-season tournament's dumber, but it's pretty close. Like,
I agree.
I'm sure there are people that like the play-in games. That's fine. I know a lot of people that really love the NBA. I don't know if any of them like to play in games. Not that my friend group is like representative of the way that everybody feels. I'm just saying, like, I know a lot of people that have loved the NBA for a long time that look at the play in games and are like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this here?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. I mean, look, I watch those too, the Dayton games. Sometimes those games are great, but it's still kind of like, okay, let's get through these, and then we get to, like, you know, Christmas morning on Thursday. It's just this precursor that's just not all that
like
exciting.
Preseason.
Yeah, well, that's right. So Pete agrees with you, bring back the 14 playoffs. So I totally disagree with that, because I think the 14 playoff is why we're where we are. And I've talked about it before. I can't totally explain it, because I thought it'd be perfect. Like, great, no one cares about five. Great. But the 14 playoff made it so that all anybody ever talks about is a playoff. So if you're going to bring back something, bring back the BCS. Or just bring back two teams play for their title. That would be – then if you go back to that era, it was still conference championships matter. Like,
yeah.
Yes, of course you want to be in the BCS championship game. But, and it changed it from, obviously, the poll voters deciding who's the national champion and people just having to play in their bowl games. But – it didn't completely overtake other aspects of the sport. For whatever reason, once we got to the four team, it was this is all that matters, and then that's how we got to where we are today. So I'd rather have more teams or less teams than four.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's fine. Like, I'm with you. I don't want to go back to, like, people just deciding who the national championship is. I like to see that game played on the field, so let's not go back too far. But, yeah, I mean, the one thing, and you could make this argument about – every stage of college football, which is why we end up where we are right now, and I understand that. Like, the BCS, I think most of the time it probably got it right with the matchup, most of the time. And then everybody's going to throw back to 04 Auburn or whatever that year was.
Yeah.
Like, what in the world? Like, how are they not playing? Yeah. Especially when you watch, who was it that year that got smoked by USC? Was it Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I think it was Oklahoma.
USC
got beat
destroyed
by 50.
USC destroyed Oklahoma, yeah, in the title game. Yeah, no, and that game, that season was a huge, like, guys, it's possible to have a third team, right, that gets totally screwed. So, you know, so again, then you get to, oh, but, you know, I mean, Ohio State, everybody was furious that they got in 14, and they kicked everybody's butt.
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, well, what would TCU, you know? So anyway, it gets on a, I got different texts saying, bro, what, anytime you get high stakes, good basketball, to W, where are you people when I'm arguing about my love for the NBA and everybody's ripping it? Like, yeah, I need you to text in when we're, you know, when we're having an NBA argument and people are telling me that 1983 teams would kill these teams.
Yeah, and I think we got a little bit different definition of what high stakes good basketball is. I don't know that the 10 seed many times in the NBA is offering you good basketball. That's just me, though.
Yeah, it's just – you took it away right now, and again, just like if you just went back to the 64-team bracket, then, like, no one would really complain. I really don't think so. Yes, maybe some of those games can be good. I've watched games in Dayton that were really good,
right,
and I got into them. They were NCAA tournament games. Those were NCAA tournament wins, but you know what? Take them away? Okay.
Yeah, let's get the thing rolling.
Please
on
do.
Thursday and go. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Joe in Spring Hill. Joe, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. Thank you so much for that brilliant take on college football. I hate to be like you and do the get off my lawn guy, but you know what? I love the BCS, and I'll tell you why. So much value was placed on those beautiful rivalry games in mid to late November. Auburn had to, I mean, Alabama had to take care of their business against Auburn. Ohio State or Michigan had to take care of their business. As soon as they started the college playoff, I think they went 8 years with the 14 playoff, and out of the 24 games, it's some ridiculous amount, like 18 of them were more than double-digit victories. The last thing that we need to be watching in January with student athletes, and I emphasize student first because how many games do we need to play, is watching a game in the first or second round and there's a few minutes left in the third quarter and we're wondering whether or not Ohio State's going to cover the 24.5-point spread. That's not quality football. That's not what it's all about. Less is more when it comes to college football as well as the NBA. Let's get back to the eight teams, call it a day, and be done with it. The NCAA tournament, they perfected the bracket at 64. Guys, great take on the college football. I've been singing the same praises for probably the better part of a decade now. Love the show. Gentlemen, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. We'll take
Thanks,
more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What format in American sports in the postseason would you like to see changed? More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Mellow Mushroom. There's no pizza like Mellow Mushroom Pizza. Stone-baked with fresh ingredients, next-level imagination, and limitless options for customization. It's a higher order of pizza. You know and love Mellow Mushroom. Get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card good for downtown on Broadway and in Franklin location as well. So make sure you take advantage of that. Take your thoughts on postseason formats in American sports. Which ones would you change? A lot of opinions on this. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of thought about the BCS and the college football playoff as well. Another texter says, I may be in the minority, but I also feel like the BCS and the four team was better. After watching this year's college football playoff, it just made me feel like there's no way that we need this many teams. Look, I mean, you could argue that both ways because I kind of lean that way too. However, the team that just won the national championship in a 14 playoff would not have been in there.
Yeah.
And they just steamrolled everybody in the college football playoff. So that's certainly something that you've got to factor into it. Now, I understand also saying, well, the team that just won the national championship would have been eliminated by losing to Michigan, and how funny would that have been at the end of the year? How awesome would that have been? You know, the SEC title game last year, we talked about it at the time, but Georgia and Texas in the SEC title game, and it's like, all right, well, what does this really mean? Because I know Georgia, had they lost that game, it would have been their third loss. I still think they're probably getting in if they lost to Texas in that game. Now, they ended up winning, so they ended up getting the first round
bye. There was at least some questions, so like, don't mess around.
Right.
You're probably right.
But they ended up winning. They got the first round bye, and Texas was still in the college football playoff. So, you can go game by game. And that's the thing about all this, and which is why it has made for such a good debate over the last 2 years, is like, if you really want to and you're like staunchly on the four-team side, you can take a look at all the games last year toward the end of the season that somebody lost, and it didn't end up mattering anyway because they got in the college football playoff. And you can also take a look at it from the other side of things and say, well, look at how many games that had some meaning to it at the end of the year because two teams were kind of right there together in that playoff race. So it really just – you can go game by game and really debate either side you want to on that thing.
I'll take this over the four. I can listen on BCS. Again, that's one of those things that's obviously not going to happen. I mean, none of the backward stuff is happening. The only thing that we're talking about that could happen is the NHL going back to seeding. I mean, seeding things are, you can, with any of these, you can do the reseeding. Like the NFL does reseeding, right? So the NFL, you don't know your opponents, you don't have a set bracket. You're going to, if you're the highest seed or if you're a higher seed, you're going to get the lowest possible seed that wins in your round. I could make the case for that. You could make the case for that in the other sports too.
Yeah.
Which we don't have, right? Like we just have we just have basically the bracket, and this is how it's going to be. Here's your path. I don't hate reseeding, and that's a reward for just having a higher seed. And with college football, if we get rid of the freaking bowl games, and the top four seeds should get home games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's where, some of that stuff matters on the stretch. Like, you want to win a national championship, everybody would feel way better in college football about playing home games. So let's have more home games and less bowl sites for our games.
That would be
great.
Let's
start with the bowl sites in the semifinals. How about that?
So let me ask you something on the NFL, because the expansion to seven teams on each side in the playoffs – has been around, I believe, since 2020. And I think there has been one 7 seed that's actually won a game, and that was the Packers when they took down Dallas back in 2023 season, 2024 playoffs. So, I mean, there haven't been a whole lot of 7 seeds that have done anything to this point. Not saying it can't happen, because, look, I would imagine sometime here in the next 10 years – there's going to be some team that gets hurt all year. They finally get healthy toward the end of the year. They sneak in as a 7 seed, and then they go on some run in the playoffs. So it's going to happen. It happened when it was 6. And, look, didn't the Giants win both their Super Bowls as 6 seeds with Eli? Like, it's going to happen. So
6 or 5? 6 and a 5?
Yeah, maybe 6 and 5.
They were both, yeah, they were both surprised. The 2010
Packers were 6 seed. Like, there's 6 seeds have won the Super Bowl semi-regularly. So, like, it's going to happen with a 7 seed at some point. But there's been very little success for the 7th seeds in each of these conferences so far. Do we make anything of that? Is it too early to tell? We know we're not going backwards, but what do we make of the expansion of 7 so far in the NFL?
Yeah, not great. So maybe that's basically the line. We've now crossed it. But again, like you said, oh well, we've crossed it, and the NFL will just hope when they're not colluding against the players. The NFL will just hope that that one of these teams will do something, and then they can validate the size of the playoff. But yeah, maybe that's the line right there. 6. good, seven bad.
I think, I mean, Washington just made the NFC title game, and they were the six. So, like, again, like, that's another example of a six making a deep run there.
They also did it at the expense of the freaking Detroit Lions franchise. So anything can happen when you get to play those guys.
Brian says, in the NFL, seeding should be based on record. Keep the crappy teams out already. I mean, that was proposed this past year. We'll see if that ever ends up actually happening, and it goes, like, just straight up.
Oh, no division winners?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, and I don't even mind, like, again.
You have to be in if
you got
to
be in if you win the division. Like, I think you got to be in the playoffs. But I'm with people who say, like, why does that guarantee you a home game? Yeah. Like, when you're when there's a wild card team that's won four more games than you have, why are you getting a home game over there?
I mean, it was pretty trash last year that the Vikings got shipped out when they had the season they had,
yeah.
You know, but for losing that game. It made that game incredibly high stakes, the Lions-Vikings game.
Sure did.
But, yeah, I've probably like had the both takes on that several times on this show because I keep going back and forth, but it's definitely a valid argument.
Yeah, I am interested to see if that ever comes to fruition that way, and that's the way they end up seeding things. You know, I understand the argument of like you need your division championship to mean something, and a home playoff game is always been what it's been. So that's fine. Like I understand that. And, you know, I don't hate the way it is now because, look, some years, Joe, it falls the way that it needs to fall, right? Like the division winners are clearly the four best teams in the conference, and those are the years where it's just like, okay, it's gone the way it should. But last year in the NFC, particularly, a pretty good example of how sometimes that gets a little screwy. I mean, Green Bay last year was the seventh seed, and they had a better record than the four seed in the conference. Probably not great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's – and, you know, and then so, like, reseeding with that also, that's how, like, I like reseeding in general, but if your seeding is screwed up because of the divisional thing, then reseeding sometimes also isn't actually smart. It doesn't actually work out. I got somebody on here real quick who is just absolutely beyond me with, like, the current NBA teams would crush, like, the old ones. Yeah. Like, he's saying that he told William DeMace that the 2024 Olympics team would have dropped 130 on the dream team of plumbers.
I kind of like that.
And it said they would have been minus 14.5 in that game. I mean, take it easy a little bit. Take it easy a little bit. That was a pretty good team. I mean, I would watch. I think we'd have a good game between that team. You know, yes, Larry Bird, the back was gone by then. Magic was past his prime. But Jordan was in his prime.
Barkley?
Barkley was in his prime. I mean, Karl Malone was in his prime.
Isaiah? Oh, wait.
That's just really mean. That's just really mean.
I forgot about that. He wasn't on that team. Ian, did you forget about that?
I did forget about that.
Man. Yeah.
You hate to see it.
See how long the fuse is.
No, I mean, I've said this before. I would love to see the dream team play the redeem team in 2008. I'd love to see that team play this Olympic team that just won last year.
Yeah.
Like it'd be awesome. I'd like to see all of it.
The best of the best, you know, back then still would be the again, where you get into differences is when you get into just regular NBA teams where your 7th, 8th and 9th player now are so far beyond what they were then. That's where you and again, I mean more than that, probably your 4th, 5th and 6th too. That's the difference.
Brian says, since college football isn't really college football anymore, how about introducing relegation? I'd like to see some SEC teams get elevated and some NFL teams go down to NCAA. I don't think that would go very well.
That wouldn't go well with the NFL, SEC, but I do not hate relegation. SEC to, like, where does an SEC team get sent?
I don't know. Would
OVC?
It be the Big 12 now?
OVC?
Yeah. Go play in the American Conference.
You know, there's some years, some stretches. I don't want to piss off any Vanderbilt fans, but I'm just saying.
I was about to say. It could.
It might have been some stretches.
It happened a few times.
When you're playing Sewanee for a while.
Hey, the traditional SEC matchup back in the
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. That's right.
SEC Originals. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Nick Hague was introduced to the media yesterday in his introductory press conference with the Predators. A couple things he said that stood out to me. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 1025, The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption tomorrow at Pella, 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. New Predators defenseman Nick Hague had his introductory press conference yesterday. A few things in it that I found to be interesting stood out to me. But one of the things was about the expanded role that he is apparently going to have here at Nashville, and Barry Trotz has talked about that. Elliot Friedman was on with DVD last week and talked about how there were a lot of different teams that wanted Nick Hague and were trying to trade for him from Vegas, and that Nashville was a team that he felt comfortable extending with. So I have a couple thoughts on that here in a second. But Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, friend of the show, asked him yesterday about kind of what the next step of his game looks like, and I found his answer pretty interesting. Here's what Nick Hague had to say yesterday.
I think there's more to give offensively, you know, for my game. You know, in junior, I was, you know, an offensive guy, and, you know, when I, you know, came into the NHL, it was, you know, obviously a heavy focus on defending in this league, and because that, you know, you're not going to make it anywhere if you can't do that. So I think a lot of my attention, you know, went to that side of the game, and I think I improved, you know, a lot, you know, defensively, you know, when I first came into the league. And now for me, I think, you know, try to round out my game a little bit more and kind of get back to that, you know, offensive side and those instincts that I did have when I was in junior, and you know, and you know, not obviously lose the defensive part, but you know, try to take a step on the other side of the ice as well.
So that was Nick Hague talking about getting better offensively. You know, I thought back to Andrew Brunette a couple of weeks ago after they originally signed him, and he started talking about offensively there's a part of his game that they feel has not been unlocked yet in the NHL. I'm looking at his numbers, Joe. I mean, Hague, his career high in points for a season is 17. He had 17 points in 2021, 5 goals, 12 assists. He hit 17 again in 2022-23 in 81 games, where he had 3 goals that year. So you're talking about a guy that has been, you know, 5 goals, 4 goals, 3 goals, 5 goals this last year in Vegas. There hadn't been a whole lot of offense there. So it makes me wonder, like, all right, taking the next step offensively, what does that mean? Like, where are you getting to offensively? Because, I mean, you look back in junior, and his last year in the OHL, he had 78 points in 67 games. He had 35 goals, 43 assists. And that's good. Like, that's really good for a defenseman. But this is a pretty long body of work at this point in the NHL. It's 364 games that he's played in the NHL, where there just hasn't been very much offense. So I understand some of that could be lack of opportunity, could be the rest of the defensemen that he was behind in Vegas. But I doubt very seriously that it's like under the surface here, Nick Hague is like some 50-point guy back there, and they've been holding him back like the leash has been on in Vegas. So I wonder what that's going
to
look like.
If so, tip of the cap, Barry. Everybody's got to apologize to Barry. If all of a sudden there's an offensive avalanche coming from Nick Hague.
Maybe so.
Can he facilitate offense? Is there some, you know, some, even if the numbers aren't there?
Well, I mean, look, he can play on the left and the right, and I know people roll their eyes at that sometime, but not everybody can do that. Like, not every defenseman in the NHL can play on both sides well, like effectively. Like, Ekholm could do it. Josi obviously can do it, but not everybody can play on both sides over there. So he talked about that a little bit yesterday. I'm interested to see how they view that. If I had to guess right now, this is probably who's going to be playing with Josi, if I had to guess right now. So, you know, I don't know exactly what that's going to mean, but if you're wanting more opportunity to play and more opportunity to produce offense, playing with Roman Josi on the top pair, you're going to get it.
No,
so we'll see how equipped you are for it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Preds fan right now, as soon as Robbie said those words, you may have cringed, you know. But that is a different kind of opportunity. And then sometimes guys in very different situations than they've been in look a little different as players.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly between what Trotz said – between what Elliot Friedman said on our station about the teams that were falling all over themselves. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I apologize, Nick Hague. I did not understand your game.
Yeah, I mean, look.
What did Shaq say? I did not know your game.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I mean, I.
But we need to see it.
Clearly, there are still, and I saw some even yesterday when some of the quotes started coming out from Nick Hague. Like, there are some Predators fans that when you saw the deal that they signed him to, the extension, there's sticker shock there where you're like, what did they just do? Like, why are they given what has been largely, you know, kind of a third-pairing type of guy that long of a contract? You know, I thought the Elliot Friedman reporting on all this was really interesting. Like, he came out and said, like, if you wanted Nick Hague, that was what it's going to cost. Like, that's the cost it was going to be. And apparently there was some pretty heavy interest in Nick Hague around the league. And there were some trades that did not go through because he would not sign an extension at those places, and he would here. So, look, I'm still not saying that it's a great move. We'll see what happens. There's a lot that he's going to have to prove with an elevated role here. But I guess I at least feel better about it that Barry Trotz is not on some island here giving him a four-year deal at $5.5 million per deal. Like, I trust – Elliot Friedman's not just throwing that out there. Like, I trust Elliot Friedman's reporting on that.
Yes. It all seems a little bit less reckless than it did on day one.
It does. It does.
Day one was like, what is happening right now?
I didn't really know what they were doing on
By the way, Shaq, I was not familiar with your game. I apologize.
All right.
Nick Hague, I was not familiar with your game.
We'll see what it looks
Still not familiar with your game. We'll see.
We'll go find out. You're going to be familiar pretty quickly coming up next year. So we'll see what that looks like.
Playing 25 minutes a night, you know?
That's true. Can confirm. And he's every bit of 6'6". That guy's huge. 6'6", 245 is what he's listed at. And he looks every bit of 6'6", 245 pounds. And apparently, I got to the bottom of this yesterday, has a great relationship with Jonathan Marchessault. They live down the street from each other in Vegas, and they're very good friends. So bringing in some culture pieces.
That's what we're talking about.
Marchie in there. Yeah, there we go.
Make sure he's happy.
Yep. I mean, I do find it interesting, and I know that this probably was not the plan because, let's get real here. I don't know at the end of the day that, if Steven Stamkos was feeling bad about the way things are going, it's like, oh, good, you brought in Perbix. Now I feel a lot better. But it is funny to me that the two significant moves they've made this offseason was a defenseman from the Lightning and a defenseman from the Vegas.
Let's bring in some Thunder buddies so everybody can be happy in the locker room.
As many Lightning and Vegas Golden Knights people in here as we possibly can. And then Eric Hall.
And also Eric.
He also played for Vegas, so there is some familiarity there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. I've got a question for the football fan around here that I actually think is pretty interesting. We'll get into that coming up next.
I do too.
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game.